Thank you, first of all, to Mike for his very brave and moving communion, which I'm sure helped us a lot. We are in John chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. While you're turning there, obviously the summer is pretty much ended. We're all back to school and back to work. I make the same mistake every time I go back to work, and it's very frustrating. And that is that of the holiday that I have to take at least some of it in a 2-week block. And the problem with that is it's enough time to forget things. And so what happens is I go in on the first day, slightly earlier than normal in order to get rid of all the emails, and arrive at my computer, and I forgot my password. Yes! Everybody's been there before. And then you've got, I think, 3 chances. And then we get at work what's called the blue screen of death. Very depressing. And then the IT guys come in slightly later, and they find that very amusing. Knowing that you sat there for half an hour and had sort of, I don't know, just tidying your pencils. So here we go, John chapter 5, and the title of my message is Do You Want to Get Well? And there are 4 points. I'll tell you what they are in a second, so that if we run out of time, at least you know to come back for some more. So it says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. So point number 1 is what is our illness? Point number 2 is what's stopping us from getting into the water and getting healed? Point number 3 is are we helping one another? And point number 4 is Jesus will always help you. So let's just do point number 1 to start off with. So this chap is physically incapacitated. He can't get healed. Many of us are stuck. We're paralyzed. We can't move on for some reason, whether it is in our relationship with God, with one another, with things in our past, with fears, with anger, with whatever it is, we're stuck and we can't get into the pool. Broadly speaking, there's 2 sorts of people, I think, very broadly. The first one is you're probably like I was maybe 20, 21 years ago when I first came to church. Okay, I believed in God. I was a reasonably nice guy, pleasant, well-mannered, believed in heaven and health, reckoned there would be some sort of judgment day, had a knowledge of Jesus, believed that the Bible was probably the word of God, but couldn't really prove it. But I didn't know Jesus' teachings. Okay, I had not repented because I didn't know Jesus' teachings, and I had not been baptized for the forgiveness of my sins. So I was stuck. And I kind of knew that in my heart of hearts. I was not a disciple of Jesus. I was not obedient to his teachers. I was not a fisher of men, which is what Jesus calls us to be. I was not a fisher of men. If somebody had come to me and said, "I want to become a Christian," I couldn't have told them how you do that or what you have to do. Okay? Now, Some of you in this room will be somewhere along that journey. You may have just come along for the first time. You may have been for a while. You may be studying these things out. If all of this doesn't make sense to you, then that's fine. I mean, you are there by the side of the pool. You're in the right place. Now you just need to study this stuff out, ask the person who brought you along to look at these things, so that you understand them and so that you can make the right decisions about your life. The second sort of person who is in this room, again, very broad categories, is we've repented, we've been baptized, you know, we've become Christians, we're excited, and now we've hit a bit of a roadblock. And we're stuck by the side of the pool, we're paralyzed, we're disabled, something is not happening. We our marriages, our relationships with our children, they're not working out, we're not doing as well at work as we should be, there's something, problems with relationships with employers, you know, we've not been fruitful for a while, we don't seem to meet people who want to come to church, it's just all a bit stagnant, and we're stuck, we're paralyzed, and why is that? I don't know, maybe, hopefully, you know, some of this will be striking home. So, what's stopping us? Point number two, what's stopping us from getting into the water and getting healed? And you know, if you're in the first category, getting saved, in the second category, having a fantastic life, a fantastic Christian life, which is really fulfilled and meaningful. What's stopping us? There's a huge number of things, potentially, and there's no way I'm going to cover them all. What's interesting is that this man had been ill for a very long time, for 38 years, and Jesus asks a very penetrating question. He says, do you want to get well? And why does he ask that question? I mean, he's been ill for 38 years. He must want to get well. The commentators have got various views as to why he asked that question. And one of the views is that you can get into a situation and actually, I just muddle through. It's the status quo. Things are not great, but why upset the apple cart? This guy, people leave him alone. He may be getting food on a regular basis. He's getting his accommodation sorted out. You know, and if he was to get healed, he'd have to go and get a job, wouldn't he? I mean, he'd have to sort of start to become an integral, functioning, responsible part of society. And it may be that actually things are fine where he is. It's okay. It's fine. You know, I'm not as well off as everybody else, but I'm certainly not down here. So I'll just muddle through. We can really fall into this trap, I think. I definitely can. When Jesus asks him, do you want to get well? He doesn't answer the question. He comes up with an excuse about people getting in. Because when you read in the footnotes in your Bible, the idea was that an angel would come down, stir the waters, first one in gets healed. So, you know, and we don't know if he's been there for 38 years, but you can assume he's been there for a pretty long time. I'm going to read, this is where it could all go horribly wrong now. I'm going to read some words from a long, long time ago, before Simon Cowell, there was a pop group called Pink Floyd. In an era when there were no calculators and we had to use slide rules to calculate things and you had to get up from your seat and change one of the three channels on your television. And they say, so here's the words to a song they wrote called Comfortably Numb. I'm not getting there, I can't. Hello, is there anybody in there? Just nod if you can hear me. Is there anyone home? Come on now, I hear you're feeling down. I can ease your pain, get you on your feet again. Relax, I need some information first. Just the basic facts. Can you show me where it hurts? There is no pain, you are receding. A distant ship smoke on the horizon. You are coming through in waves. Your lips move, but I can hear what you're saying. When I was a child, I had a fever. My hands felt just like two balloons. Now I've got that feeling once again. I can't explain. You would not understand. This is not how I am. I have become comfortably numb. Okay, just a little pinprick. There'll be no more. Ah, but you may feel a little sick. Can you stand up? I do believe it's working. Good. That will keep you going through the show. Come on, it's time to go. There is no pain. You are receding. A distant ship's smoke on the horizon. You are only coming through in waves. Your lips move, but I can't hear what you're saying. When I was a child, I caught a fleeting glimpse out of the corner of my eye. I turned to look, but it was gone. I cannot put my finger on it now. The child is grown. The dream is gone. I have become comfortably numb. I mean, that's sad, isn't it? I mean, there's, again, various views as to what he was writing about, whether it was drug, you know, chemicals, addiction. He may have just been at the dentist. I don't know. We can become comfortably numb. Okay, somebody said, and I can't remember who it was, for evil to prosper, it only needs good men to do nothing. And, you know, we are living in a very material society, and it's easy just to let things wash over us, and not have uncomfortable conversations, and not do what we need to do and push ourselves in order to make a difference and live like disciples of Jesus, because we've become comfortably numb. And I feel this for myself. It's a real challenge. And I was very struck by the sharing of the teens last Friday, and particularly Daniel Rowden, who stood up and said, you know, I've not been persecuted for my faith. And I thought, gosh, when was the last time I had somebody take issue with what I was saying because I was honouring God and honouring Jesus? And I thought that was really telling and really helpful. And, you know, I mustn't become comfortably numb. You know, what are the things that make us numb and complacent? I mean, definitely sin. You know, sin numbs us. You know, we're stepping in and in into one world and into the other, and we're guilting ourselves out. We're not moving on. Earlier on this year, I looked at something inappropriate on the internet. Okay, and I was going to have to talk to somebody about it, and I just sat for the rest of the day at work thinking, I'm going to have to talk to somebody about this. And I was in this meeting, millions of pounds. Trying to do this meeting, and all the back of my mind, I was thinking, oh, I'm sinful, I've got to talk about this stuff. It was an interesting meeting, because even one of the clients started crying for some reason. I thought, I've not done that badly. It was not a good day. Anyway, so I came to church, I spoke to Mike. And, you know, Mike was more concerned about, well, why did it happen and what can we do to prevent it from happening again? You know, it was very helpful. And then I spoke to Paul Rowden. And Paul was mainly concerned about the fact, well, look, you're guilty, you're down. You've got to repent and move on and be happy and be joyful. You know, God's forgiven you, you know, and be refreshed. And it wasn't, it was a helpful conversation. So I don't know what it is with you. All I know is that we've all got our pet struggles and sins, and we go there when things aren't going right. We all do it. And, you know, I can speak for the men particularly. You know, we have whatever it is with you, where you go when you're down and you're not functioning. Okay, and we've got to talk about this stuff, and whatever it might be, it would be drink or just laziness or watching television or just being very insular and just thinking about yourself. But let's talk about it and pray for one another, as it says in James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed, like this guy. And the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So let's get out there and not be afraid of the implications. You know, we are very worried about, you know, like this chap, you know, if I get well, then I'm going to have to do more stuff. Yes. Yes. Yeah, if you get baptized, if you become a Christian, life gets a bit more complicated because there's more to do. You've got more responsibility. If you're growing spiritually, yes, you'll be asked to take on more things. Fine, let's embrace it. And the other thing is that the other thing that can make us comfortably numb is that we sometimes wait around waiting for things to be sorted. don't we? We just, oh, I can't, you know, yeah, when I'm doing a bit better spiritually, when I've sorted out this relationship, yeah, I'll share my faith more, or I'll, you know, my marriage isn't in a good place, how can I disciple people if my marriage is in a mess, or I'm, you know, constantly getting angry or frustrated or impatient? Actually helping, doing more things actually gets the focus off yourself. And then listen to this from the Apostle Paul, arguably one of the greatest Christians to ever live. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 5. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Yes, we have all got issues, but God can use them in a great way. Don't rely on your strengths. Rely on God. He will use your propensity to be impatient or angry, or to be lustful, or to be lazy, to help people who struggle with these things. So, Paul almost embraces these weaknesses. It's incredible. Point number 3, are we helping one another? So the Jews are just really going for it here, because this man's been sick for 38 years and then he gets up and he's walking around carrying a mat, and the first thing they say to him is, it is the Sabbath, the Lord forbids you to carry your mat. I mean, extraordinary. How about that's amazing? They're more concerned. And also, actually, biblically, they're a bit off track there, because in Exodus 20, it just says you shouldn't work. So it's only because they added to it with their own law that they thought it was not keeping the Sabbath. So unless he was a removal man, he wasn't working. But they thought he was. And you quite rightly think, well, gosh, I'm not like that. We can be a bit like that, in that we can focus on very superficial things when we're helping one another. And so, they were very concerned about whether he's keeping the Sabbath. We can be very concerned whether about people just coming to church and whether they're registered for things, or whether they're doing this and they're doing that. And absolutely, that's good stuff. I mean, don't stop doing that. That is right. But you need to go much deeper, and we know that. And how do you do that? It just takes a lot of time. Okay, time with one another, so that we learn how to love one another deeply in the way that you if you've had good relationships with your physical family, you are like physical family. So, you do know about each other's backgrounds. You do know about where each other have come from. You do know about what affects you emotionally and all this kind of stuff. And that just takes time. And we need to spend time with one another, getting deep, asking awkward questions, and not having conspiracy of silences. Because if I ask him about sexual purity, then the chances are he'll ask me. And I don't want him to, so I won't ask him. So don't get into that sort of dynamic. And it can go on in marriage as well, these no-go areas where you're not talking about stuff. Hebrews 12, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So let's hunt around. How do you get to, if anybody's done any gardening, to get a root out, it can be quite hard work. It takes a lot of hard, some of those deep roots, you've got to dig hard and work hard to get them out. And it takes effort, and it's painful, because it is. You've got to get your hands get sore, and your back hurts. So So yes, we do need to be having those biblical one another relationships that, you know, and that takes time because it's not going to happen immediately. You've got to build that rapport. You've got to build that trust. You've got to create an environment which is safe, where people know that they can talk without being judged, and where they can be free to say what they think. And this is particularly relevant for children, so that they can say what they think. And so you know, it becomes a good place where you can get stuff out into the light. Okay, so it's not festering in the dark. One of the things that we need to do better in our group, and it starts with me, is just talking to each other on a daily basis. You know, so not necessarily, you know, so I just want to, you know, talk to one of my group together. You're always on the phone. So daily we're talking to one another. Not, you know, long, necessarily deep conversations, but at least getting into the habit, building these habits. And then absolutely, the more you talk, the deeper you'll get. It'll just happen, but don't expect it to be brilliant immediately. You've got to get into the practice of doing it. We're very lucky because we've got Mike O'Neill in our group, and Mike is a great sense check, and he's very good at relationships and whether people are being real. So it's great. So we're okay. So you can soon sense if we're being fake, because Mike is pretty good. Very respectful, very pleasant, not at all aggressive, but just, okay, come on, what's really going on? So that's really helpful. So thank you to Mike for that. And then finally, Jesus will help us. What's really encouraging about this scripture is this guy doesn't seem to be particularly likeable, in that he's fairly churlish towards Jesus. He's defensive, he's evasive, he doesn't answer the question, and then he doesn't even ask Jesus who he is after he's been healed after 38 years. He doesn't know who he is. And then what's also slightly amusing is when he does know who Jesus is, he goes and tells the Jews. You don't know why. Maybe it's because he wants to tell on him and get him into trouble. I don't know. But Jesus still heals him. That's the amazing thing. So you may not feel particularly likable. You may not think you're a nice person. And you know, that's something you need to deal with. But Jesus will help you. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be healed. He will heal you. There is just one slight sort of thing to be aware of, and that is, he does, when he sees him again, Jesus just say, look, see you are well again, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. That's a bit chilling. I don't know how he said it. I don't know what his tone of voice was like. Okay, but love, Jesus' love is unconditional. A lot of our love is, you know, we want to be unconditional in love, but, and this is a bit tricky, that there are conditions to relationships. To have a relationship, there are conditions. So to be married, you have to go to a certain legal requirement. So you can have all the unconditional love in the world, but unless you go through a marriage ceremony, you're not married according to the law of this land. And then in order to stay married, you need to abide by certain behaviours. So, you know, if I start, you know, beating up Jane, then she is within her rights to remove herself from that threat. Okay, it's not going to be good for our relationship. So don't get confused with this unconditional love. But no, there are conditions. We know it's right with our children. Okay, we set conditions, we set them boundaries so that they know how they grow up right and so that they can have good relationships. So I think that's important. And yeah, it's the same with work. I mean, you know, even if you do some great work for somebody, you're not their employee unless you have a contract. So there are conditions, and then you've got to abide by the rules of that company. But the good thing is that Jesus helps us, and he wants to help us. I'm going to stop now. Let's keep those four points in mind. Let's really think about in what way are we paralyzed? Think about the ways in which you're paralyzed. Sort of, you know, be honest and real about that. You know, what's stopping us from getting into the water and getting healed? Are we really helping one another? And at the end of the day, Jesus is really going to help us. He is going to help us. So just pray and he'll help us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ben. It's great to have Ben share with us, and also Mike sharing the communion. The thing that struck me from all of this is just the honesty, openness. When Mike was sharing, I was like, whoa. Wow. Intense. And yet you can see the power of God. It's like, wow, this isn't about a man-made approach to solving his life. God is powerful beyond measure. And then Ben. Just him sharing about struggles at work, and most of us can relate, but I think Ben threw out a lot of, I think they were like wild arrows, and I think they probably hit most of us, hopefully. That's the goal of the gospel. It just hits, something hits you. Maybe not what hits the next person, something hits you. The thing that hit me was just to, that building loving relationships takes time. You say, Andy, you've been a Christian for 25 years, just figured that out? No, but I've been reminded. And it's like, okay. So let me remember and engage in some of the areas that I know I'm weak in. If you feel paralyzed and an area of your life has not been changing, you think, oh man, it's just not been moving. You know, Ben addressed some of those issues as well. You think, yeah, that is for me. Or if you're studying the Bible and looking into becoming a Christian, on that journey of saying, oh, if someone gave you the Bible, could you teach another person to be saved? And you say, well, I'm not sure. Well, you probably need some help. That's the goal. And so all these kind of things. So hopefully they hit our hearts. We'll all stand and sing a final song before we go and share these things in our lives. Let's all stand as we sing Stand in Awe. I need Paul Rowden.